So I want to just say that indeed, Pastor Don did ask me to help him today and to fill in for him tonight, rather. And I'm glad, so glad to do it. He'd asked me to fill in for him for the next 3 weeks. He asked me 2 or 3 weeks ago, and the Lord had put some things into my mind here. And it's going to be a series on prayer. And I really feel like there's some unique things that we're going to talk about that maybe you have never heard before. But it's not new. It's not new. I don't believe that, when it comes to God's word, it may be new to our ears or not. I had at least 4 segments. And so I told Brother Don that, and he said, "Oh, well, it works out just great." I said, "It does." So anyway, I'm going to read tonight on him, and also just kind of a public service announcement, Brother Carlos. And just if you could all turn your mics off, Brother Carlos asked me just to say that. So keep our pastor and our pastors in your prayer. I believe it's important that we cover our leadership in prayer. Satan is always on the prowl, and God's on the throne. Amen. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, this is where I'm going to take our lead verse tonight, lead passage. I'm going to read for the 14 through 16. It's a passage that is familiar to all of us. And it says, "If my people," and I like how he says, I'm one of his people. You're one of his people tonight. Isn't that awesome? "If my people who are called by my name," and we're called by his name, "shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin and heal their land." Has such a dynamic passage, so dynamic. Verse 15 says, and it goes on, "Now mine eyes shall be open," this is the Lord speaking, "and my ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. For now have I chosen and hallowed this house, that my name may be there forever, and mine eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually." Hallelujah. This is such a dynamic passage. I'm excited to teach on it. And we actually have a lot of scripture to get through. And so I'm going to try my best to stay on point and not to run down any rabbit trails. I can do that quite easily. The topic for this first lesson on prayer is elevate prayer in your life. Elevate prayer in your life. I think this is a very important piece of prayer for us. And God does want us to elevate prayer. And we're going to talk about a few things that it does bring to bear that can actually help us to live more a more spiritual life successfully day by day. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. And this whole, there's several verses here together, and they're all real short. And it's just kind of like, it's like the Lord is firing off these things. Rejoice. And here it says, "Pray without ceasing." Pray without ceasing. Some Christians do have, they struggle with praying consistently, once a week. And some can go, a long time without really having that personal, going to that closet to pray and talk to God. And it's so easy for me and you and all of us to get sidetracked. And but God has called us to pray. He has called us to pray. I think he understands that if we pray regularly, that we will be spiritual regularly? What does it mean really to pray? What does it mean? People say, well, I remember we brought some neighbors to church, and they really were not praying people. They were raised Catholic, and you know, their prayer was recitation of something, a creed or whatever. I'll never forget, you know, Tim, how do I pray? And I said, you just talk to God, just speak to the Lord. Just like you're speaking, you know, we're talking to each other. Just tell the Lord your heart. And so it is a dialogue. It's not a monologue. It's not just you and I just doing all the talking, but God wants to, he also wants a voice. And so it's a conversation with God himself. I mean, how big is that, right? How big is that? To have a conversation with God himself. And so when we elevate prayer, it does one very important thing for all of us. It actually helps us to elevate spiritual living in our life. There's a spiritual battle that we all, every one of us, and if you say you don't have it, man, oh man, I want that secret recipe. If you're beyond the battle of the flesh, I want to know. I want to know what that secret. Just kidding. So, but there is a battle that no matter how spiritual, the flesh is going to rise up occasionally. Or Satan's going to rise up occasionally. He's going to put things, he's going to do his best to trip, to see you or I fail. And so by elevating prayer, it does one very important thing again, and I just repeat it. It elevates our spiritual living. Amen. Amen. I believe that there is a call to prayer. I think it feels like it is increased more and more. Since the COVID pandemic, people were so isolated, and Barna and the Pew Research and others, they did a study about what happened, what people were doing, and they found that people were actually turning more to God, to prayer, and they were talking to the Lord. And they felt a need, because they felt vulnerable, as we all did, and felt isolated, and so they began to talk to God. I think that there is very, very certainly a call to, you know, to talk to God. He is calling us to prayer, to be moved by him, to go into our closet of prayer and there speak to him and to hear his voice. Amen. What happens in that closet of prayer? It's a dialogue, but really it is our special time with the Lord where we can have voice to voice. There was a time when it was not like that. And you go into Old Testament, and before Jesus was born of a woman and came to the earth, and there was a veil that was between the holy place and the Holy of Holies. And so that Holy of Holies is, you know, it was symbolic of the resting place, the presence of God. I want to read some verses here in Matthew 27. You know, the Bible's so dynamic, and we have read these things, but it says here, Jesus, when he cried again with a loud voice, he yielded up the ghost, or he died. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent or torn in two from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks did break, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose. Verse 53, saints were resurrected, and the scripture goes on how they went and they visited the saints that were living. These three miracles really tell us that this was the greatest human event that the world had ever seen. But the veil was part of that. The veil was a massive curtain. I don't know if you've ever heard much said about the veil in the temple, but it is thought to have been 5 inches thick. And that's a very heavy, heavy piece of material. And it was tall, it was wide, it was heavy. And at the time of our Christ passing, when he gave up the spirit, gave up the ghost, that veil rent from top to bottom, really signifying to us that it was not done by man. It happened. God did this. This is what the Lord did. And so, and the reason I bring this up, because it really tells us what prayer is. This is where never have we been able to pray as humans in our human history, in civilization. Never have we been able to pray the way we do since the veil was rent. So the priests used to go in. When they couldn't go for themselves, the priest went in carrying the sin of all the people. But now then, we can go pass through the veil, and which symbolically is the flesh of Jesus Christ, right? And we can go into that place, and there we can speak to God, speak to the Lord. I don't want to say face to face because we can't see God, but we speak to him voice to voice. And he wants to speak to us. He wants to speak to us also. When we elevate in prayer, we better learn how to recognize his voice, that still small voice. I want to read a passage in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Verse 20, by a new and living way, which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say his flesh. And so this shows us that when we pray, we go into our closet of prayer, that we can come figuratively and spiritually face to face with the Holy of God, the presence of God. We can enter into his presence, and he can move, and we can feel, and we can be transformed. It's an amazing thing. And so we are able by the Lord's work of atonement for our sins to go into that Holy of Holies, the presence of the Lord. There's nothing like the presence of God. One of the saddest stories for me in the scripture in early times was in Saul, went beyond the role of where he was supposed to do. And he tried to act in place of the holy men of God. And God said, not happening. And he was a willful man. And because of that, the Bible says that he withdrew. He no longer had the voice. He no longer had that relationship. It's a sad, sad, sad passage of scripture to me. And so now then we can come before him ourselves. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. It's a high honor. I heard an old time preacher who was really very well known 25, 30 years ago. He's passed on now, Brother Oggs, Alan Oggs. Maybe some of you have heard of Brother Oggs. He was an articulator. He was so articulate with his preaching. He would preach on venues, on radio. He spoke once on the James Dobson program. If y'all remember Dr. James Dobson, a Christian psychologist for families. But I heard him once preach the message and talking about when you come before the throne into the presence of a king, you need to have something to say, because to finally make it in the presence of royalty, it may happen never in a person's life, or it may happen rarely. And so when you get there, you need to have something to say to that king while you're in his presence. And maybe, just maybe, maybe he'll have something to respond and to say back to you in reply. Very high honor. How much of a greater honor is it for us to go into our place of prayer, into our place of worship and praise, and to enter into the holiest of holy, in the presence of God himself, and to speak to him. This morning we had a marvelous time. We kind of had a prayer meeting after the prayer meeting. There were four of us left over, and we were just lingering, and God just came in, and we felt the touch. We felt his presence. Amen. And so we want to elevate prayer in our life. And when we elevate that, it elevates us spiritually and helps us. It helps us to have a more spiritual life. Romans 8, chapter 8, it is one of Brother Tim's very favorite chapters in all the Bible. It is, they say that it is the most extensive chapter regarding the role of the Holy Spirit. But verse 4 says, the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And I'm going to read for several verses here, but this really describes you and I, and Christians, and Pentecostals, people that are Spirit-filled, and sometimes we do struggle. But this gives us some real meat to regarding prayer and walking in the Spirit, where God wants us to be, and what elevating prayer does for us. The righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh, carnal, do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity, or it's against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. The flesh just does not yield to the Spirit, does it? Verse 8, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Verse 9, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. And that's a capital S. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. In verse 10, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. And so this is what we're talking about, elevating prayer in our life. it brings such a powerful peace, a peace of that if you don't pray, it will add to your life in a dynamic way. It will empower you. It will help you. It's what is missing to help you to really successfully walk spiritually, walk in the Spirit. Galatians 5:16, it actually refers to walking here. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, capital S, right? And the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to each other, or one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you are led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Amen. Amen. So I think, again, that I think that prayer very possibly is the very most singular key thing, key point to for a Christian to have to be able to successfully live spiritually. If we don't pray, we're not going to be spiritual. If prayer is hit or miss, spiritual living is going to be hit or miss, and we all are cut from the same thing, the flesh, right? But the work of God, when He does the work in us, what He does when He gets on the inside, He begins to change us. We need to add to that relationship, and that happens through prayer. Amen. Amen. It is the most important thing you can do for yourself. Most important thing you could do for your family. Most important thing you could do for your church. Amen. And even more so, it's the most important thing we could do for our God. It really is relationship based. And so Hebrews 11 says that, verse 4, I believe that without faith it is impossible to please God. That's huge. That's big, right? It's without faith, it is impossible to please God. Well, how does faith come into prayer? I think faith and prayer are inseparable. I really do. When you begin to pray, your faith will begin to grow. When I pray daily, my faith grows. I do believe that all of us are susceptible to growing cold in the Lord. But if we have regular prayer, we are less likely to go cold in God. I want my prayer and my faith to be on fire. Amen. Amen. I don't think you can have faith without praying, and you certainly can't pray without faith. They are inseparable. They go together. There's a statistic out about 4 years ago, the presidential prayer team, right? And so they are actually the source of this. But 66% of people, and it didn't really say Christian people, it just said people, pray at least once a week. And so that really means that prayer is probably the nation's most widely practiced religious activity. We fight our battles through the power of prayer. That's where we get our victory song, right? It really is. And when we are having battle, when we're in the valley and we feel discouragement, it's not time to forget. It's time to talk to God. Just begin to talk to God throughout the day. Amen. And he will help you to fight that battle. Sometimes the flesh rises up, and the only way you can fight it, the only way you can win is to pray and to begin to to have that favor, that spiritual walk with God. Praying without ceasing. I like that verse. That verse, I used to think about it. Man, I got to go around praying all the time. What is that? I mean, it's not saying that you can pray or you should pray every second. That's not what this verse says. Instead, it says never cease praying. That's really what it means. It's not saying, hey, pray every second. Just don't ever cease praying. Always be prayerful. We'll talk more about that in a week or two about some gleanings, and it's really a dynamic thing that I read recently, and it really spoke to me because I've seen it in practice in people that I highly regard as being very devout, very Christ-like, and very spiritually strong. And so when someone asks you, pray for me, or, you know, will you keep me in prayer? And just yesterday morning, someone texted me, and I'm a kind of a texter, and he's a business person here that I know really well, got to know him about 3 years ago. And our relationship, even with my sons, has grown very with him. I've really grown. He's kind of raised in a very coarse family, non-Christian family, and he abused alcohol. And God really has done a work in his life. But he texted me. He said, "Do you have a minute?" I said, "Certainly." And he asked me to pray for he and his family. And so I didn't say, "Yeah, I'll pray." But I said to him, "Yes, I will pray." I hope you understand what I'm saying. It wasn't just a reply. "Yeah, I'll pray. Yeah, I'll pray. I'll be praying." But it was like, "Yes, I'll be praying." And I sent it to him. And immediately I felt the touch of the Lord and the presence of God. And I began to pray for him and his wife and their daughters going through a battle. Amen. Going through a battle. Prayer is a marvelous thing. Praying is a marvelous thing. It really is. It's amazing. It's amazing what it does, what it brings. It's you and I storming the gates of hell. It's you and I proclaiming the word of God. And I really think that when someone begins to seek the Lord and they begin to enter that place of prayer, it's going to change your life. It's going to change your life. It's going to change your outlook. It's going to change your outlook on life, not just with your life. It just carries the work of God to that next place. And it'll give you consistency. You'll feel strong. People will feel the difference. People will see the difference. We don't do it for others to see it. We do it because we're drawn. God draws us. He wants us to have that time with him. But I will tell you that people will say, you pray, don't you? Yeah, I pray. I love telling people that I love the Lord. That's an awesome thing. Amen. I want to pray. I'm really kind of done here, but I want to close it out with prayer. And if we could just talk to the Lord here for a minute. And the prayer is, I wrote a prayer out. I rarely ever do this, but I did. Lord Almighty God, when we enter into your presence, the presence of a king, the king of all kings, it's a special place, a very special place. It's a place of royalty. Yes, Lord. I would come into the building, and he'd always stop at my door, and he would walk in and sit down, and sometimes we would talk for an hour, and I would get restless because I had work to do. But we talked about the coming of the Lord. We talked about spiritual things. Sometimes we talk about fishing and hunting or whatever, family. But on this day, he came in on a Friday, and he said, would you pray for Zeb? And Zeb was his grandson. Zeb did not have a father figure in his life. His dad walked out when he was just a very small infant. And so Tom, it was his grandfather, but he was that father-like figure. And he was very emotional. He said he is in a very dark place, depression, and just for a young man in a bad place. And I said to him, I said, I will pray. I didn't say, yeah, I'll pray. I said, I'll pray. That Sunday morning at First Church, and this was, all of a sudden I was there praying and worshiping the Lord and just loving God, and I felt such an urgent need to go to the front and to stand there for Zeb. And I prayed and I talked to the Lord, and I felt a release from that. And so I went to work the next morning. And again, Tom's routine was to walk down, or at my office, and we shared very close offices. And he stopped. He didn't come in. He looked at me. He was so emotional. And I've known him for years. And I said, I just looked at him. He said, you did it, didn't you? I said, yeah. And he meant you prayed for Zeb. And he came in, and he was very emotional. And he said, you're not going to believe what happened. He said, yesterday, he went to a Pentecostal church, and he gave his life to God.
Amen.
Prayer is an amazing, amazing honor. It fills your life. I don't know what I would do without prayer. I don't know what I would do. I don't know what we would do without God in our life. Amen. Well, thank you today for being on the call. And God is good. God is so good. He cares about us. The Lord cares about us.
Thank you for listening to First Church Charlotte. If this podcast has blessed you, please rate it with 4 or 5 stars. By doing so, you will help others find our free podcast and bless them. If you're in the Charlotte, North Carolina area, come worship with us at 4929 North Sharon Amity Road. For information about service times, church ministries, and so much more, visit us online at firstchurchclt.com. If you would like to help support our efforts, please text GIVE to 704-445-5353. We pray God's richest blessings to you. Come worship with us. Thank you.